Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, it's official, Twitter's going public, but not all the numbers sound that great. We'll talk about what's really going on. Plus, get ready for ads in your Instagram feed. Smule launches a huge web-based music social network. And how about Cover to help you pay your server at the restaurant a little bit more quickly next time? All that and more next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 131, recorded Friday, October 4th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Full Sail University. Full Sail offers both online and campus degree programs centered on real-world experience in the entertainment, media, and technology industries. For more information, visit fullsail.edu/socialhour. And by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 1 million high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of The Social Hour. If you're watching us live, it is Friday afternoon, and if you're watching us after the fact, good day to you, wherever you may be. From Twit World Headquarters in Petaluma, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur, and I'm in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it's kind of gray and rainy here, although we've had a beautiful fall so far. I guess it's only been a week, but lots of sunny days. I feel like I'm always doing a weather forecast. I'm obsessed with the weather, Sarah.
Well, that's okay. I think at this point, whether they like it or not, at least our audience expects us to do this off the top of the show. You know, it's funny, Amber. It's been really warm in the Bay Area, and this is actually the time of year where we get our, you know, it's technically called an Indian summer. Some people don't think that that's a very nice term, but... it's basically we get our summer late when a lot of the seasons are starting to change in other parts of North America anyway. And I was at the mall last night. It's so late that I actually got kicked out of the mall. When's the last time that happened to you where they closed down and someone sort of followed me out and made sure that I, you know, didn't get locked in the mall?
Did you do
really
something
lost
bad,
track
Sarah?
Of time? No, I was shopping and I just, you know, when you're in a mall, you have no idea what time it is. It's like being in a movie theater. It's like you have no concept of if it's like 3 p.m. or midnight. And so anyway, it was late. And I walked back onto the street and it was so warm still, considering that it was after 9 p.m. That was nice. That was it was a nice little treat. You don't get that very often in San Francisco.
No, you don't. We've literally had 2 weeks of just absolutely gorgeous weather, so I can't complain about the rain. I'm sure within a month we'll have a bit of snow. But more importantly, Sarah, we have lots of social media news. And the big news this week has been all about Twitter and the Twitter IPO. People talking about Twitter advertising. Is Twitter able to make more money? Are they able to continue to hire at the pace they've been hiring? And a lot of questions around this.
Yeah, so Twitter filed for its S-1, which is it's basically the official filing. This is Twitter saying, not just that it's no longer a rumor. Twitter is going public as a company. They've got a ticker, TWTR, Twitter, which I was kind of worried that it was going to be Twit. And then, you know, all of us here at Twit would mumble and grumble forever every time we heard people referring to Twitter by its stock name. But TWTR will be what it's traded under. But yeah, I mean, not all of the news is good. The company plans to raise as much as $1 billion in its initial public offering. According to documents that it has to file, it made revenue of $253 million in the first 6 months of this year, but is not actually profitable. So it's a little bit of a, hey, we want to go public. We need to reverse a trend of losing money and a slowing user growth chart. They have Twitter has amassed more users and has always grown since its inception, but the growth does seem to be slowing down a little bit, and that freaks people out, obviously. And I think, Amber, at least for me, I can't help but compare it to Facebook's somewhat disastrous IPO, where there was a technical glitch and the stock price was really low, and people just thought it was like it kind of went public with a thud. And Facebook brings in a lot more revenue than Twitter does. Mm-hmm. What's your initial thought about the idea of what Twitter's going to be in, you know, even a month from now when it's finally public?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is that out of all of the social networks, I think Twitter is the one that I can't imagine living without, because I depend on it so much. I spend so much time using Twitter for checking news, for marketing stuff that I'm doing, for just following other people I'm interested in. However, I feel as though Twitter has the least opportunity to make the most money. So just to your point about Facebook having pretty decent revenue and I think many opportunities to be able to monetize in different ways, I really don't see the same thing or opportunity with Twitter. I think it's one of those things, it's a very simple platform. You know, there really aren't that many ways that you can advertise within a Twitter stream, things that they are already trying now. So to me, it's one of those things where I don't know what the answer is. I just, I'm not sure this is going to be a happy ending in the next couple of years for Twitter, unfortunately. But I can't imagine living without it.
I can't either. Twitter is, you know, it's my number one social network for sure. Even though I might sort of enjoy Instagram the most, and Twitter's just a little bit of everything. You know, you get a path update here and there from somebody. I get pretty much all of my breaking news from Twitter. You can see people's photos and videos that they've published somewhere else and cross-post to Twitter. It's a little slice of everything for me, and much more realistic and maybe just in line with my general interests, partly for work and partly for fun, than Facebook's ever been. The SEC document that Twitter filed says the company has 250 million active users per month, and 75% of them access the service on a mobile device. Not a big surprise there. That's you know, Twitter started out as kind of a mobile way to SMS updates and be able to follow your friends' updates. So it's always been built as a very mobile friendly social network. Although there is a bit of a question as to how many spam accounts there actually are on Twitter, how many of those accounts are contributing to what seems like a healthy number for active users, but really is a problem that's not furthering Twitter's cause at all. It's never going to help Twitter make any money at all. Twitter says it's around 5% of Twitter is all spam. Some outside analysts would say it's closer to 10%. I'm not sure who's right there, but I do definitely think that Twitter spam is a huge issue. At least it is for me. Anytime I tweet a keyword like iPad or iPhone or something that's, you know, a popular keyword that a spam account is going to glom onto, I always get a barrage of junk that's just a pain and it ruins my experience. Do you think that that's an issue going forward? I mean, if Twitter becomes public and user growth continues, spam growth will too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think it's been more spammy for me over the past little while as well. So I think that's going to continue. But at the end of the day, I think what I love about Twitter is just being able to kind of craft your own stream of people that you follow and the content you want to read. And I think it works. I mean, I just have to wonder, I mean, would you ever pay for Twitter, Sarah?
That's a good question. You know, when app.net rolled out, some of you may remember, we talked about that. I think it was about a year ago now is the last time I really kind of used it. But the idea behind app.net was it's a Twitter competitor, but not based on the bottom line of having to make revenue. You know, it's something that you would pay a yearly subscription for to have an ad-free, not, you know, financially based social network to share ideas. Well, that didn't really go anywhere. Twitter is still really, really popular the way that it is. And Amber, because I use a third-party app called Tweetbot on my Mac, on my tablet, on my phone, I don't actually see any of the Twitter ads that I would be seeing if I was using, you know, the web version of Twitter or one of the native apps. So I'm kind of getting around that for now. But I think it's inevitable that ads will be part of the Twitter experience in a more significant way than they are now. Because, again, Twitter needs to prove itself and make more money than it's making now. So I don't know. I think that would make me feel uncomfortable to feel like I was paying for some sort of a pro version of the Twitter that other people are seeing.
Yeah, I know. I've actually struggled a bit with this question because I've thought about it before, and I think I would pay for it. The only thing is, I'm not sure that everybody I follow and like to follow would pay for it. So I think it would, in some ways, kind of ruin the experience. However, I think at some point we're going to have to get to that point where people are paying for these services and the companies are able to monetize more easily, aside from just running advertisements. Now, I had no idea how many Twitter employees there were. I was very surprised by this article talking about Twitter having 2,000 employees, up 90% from last year. It seems like a lot, but I guess based on the GeekWire article, compared to other technology companies, it's still relatively low. But I'm just thinking of 2,000 people at Twitter. I'm hoping most of them are selling ads.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, 2,000 people worldwide. I know Twitter's got some, you know, their headquarters are in San Francisco, not far from where I live. In fact, they just moved into a huge building that's not too far from where Twitter started, but it's massive. And I read something in one of our local newspapers yesterday, I think, about how Twitter is possibly going to lease out the adjacent, or at least out some office space in the adjacent building, some other building that's sort of being refurbished right now, that would double the square foot usage that the company is enjoying now. And it's like, wait, they just moved to their new headquarters. This is crazy. But, and obviously not everyone works in San Francisco that works for Twitter, but they are growing at a rapid clip. I mean, 90% from just over a year ago today, that's over 900 full-time employees that have been hired in the last year. So
yeah, I mean,
what's going on?
I know one thing that they're doing as well is they're hiring country managers. So in Canada, for example, I believe it was just last year they hired a country manager and a small team of people here. So it seems like they're also building out internationally, and that could be a big strategic push for them as far as being able to reach new opportunities in terms of advertising. So a lot of hiring happening, and it's interesting. It is one service that I definitely want to see succeed. So I do hope they do well, and we still have Twitter a few years down the road. But you just never know, Sarah, with some of these social networks. We've seen them rise and fall, and it's not always a good story.
Agreed. Another story that, since we're talking about advertising, we might as well talk about the fact that Instagram is going to start showing in-feed video and image ads, at least to U.S. users at first, but you can bet that it will be a global offering, if you can call it an offering, at some point. Sounds like they're going to roll it out over the next couple of months. And Instagram, they announced it on their blog, so this is a real thing. It's basically just, we finally heard it from the horse's mouth rather than everyone saying, obviously Instagram will have to monetize at some point. You know, Facebook owns it, and Facebook's certainly in the business of making money off of advertising and doing pretty well at it too. The idea is that you will see photos and or videos from brands that you don't follow in your feed. They're not going to be, you know, every third picture or anything. The company says they'll roll it out in a way that they hope will not be too intrusive. But these will be brands that, you know, if Amber, you were following, I don't know, whatever your favorite restaurant chain is, then those don't count as advertising ads. This is going to be from brands that you might want to know more about or want to follow. Instagram says that their partners will, at least at the beginning, be brands that are proven to have great quality photo and video content on Instagram already. I don't know what that means. Maybe companies that, you know, have hired somebody to do something really artsy and creative for their Instagram feed. But this is a real thing. So I guess, what's your initial reaction? Is it going to ruin Instagram, or are we so used to ads that you can scroll right past it and it's still pretty much the same social network that we know and love?
You know, it's funny. I've had a really weird experience with Instagram lately. And in fact, I probably haven't used it in a couple of months. So like many people, I was a huge Instagram user, really depended on it, loved it. I felt like it was just a different type of social network. And I really enjoyed it. And then all of a sudden, one day, I stopped using it altogether. And I don't know if that's reflective of a bigger trend, but I know a lot of people still love it. And I think the advertising that they will end up doing, I mean, it's just going to be part of what you're going to have to expect through all social networks. I don't know what people think in terms of how a company can survive if they don't have a way to be able to monetize a platform. But sometimes when they have announcements like this, I just can't believe how many people complain online and sound like a bunch of whiny little kids in some ways because they all of a sudden are going to have advertisements. I mean, we can't have all of this stuff for free. It's just, it doesn't make sense, right? So I may not like it, but I do think it's inevitable, not just with Instagram, but with every social network that's out there that we don't pay for.
Yeah. QNX Monkey says in chat, as long as the video ads aren't autoplay, who cares? It's easy to skip. Agreed with you. But we don't really know that they won't be autoplay down the road. That's a setting that you can toggle off for Instagram, which is one of the first things I did when they introduced videos, just because, Amber, you and I think we agreed videos just are sometimes too intrusive for yes. the kind of experience that I want to have on Instagram or a variety of other social networks. But if ads are never, let's say a brand pays a bunch of money in order to have these video ads that are going to show up in my stream, and I don't ever click on that little press play arrow, I mean, mm-hmm. that's money wasted. So I think unless people are genuinely curious enough to be able to prove to advertisers, yeah, there's enough of a click through or at least interest that this is worth your money, we might start getting autoplay ads. Maybe they don't autoplay for your friends, but they may autoplay for that advertiser that you're not interested in. The good news is that, and this works on Facebook too, I keep getting these Old Navy ads on Facebook, right? And it's like, I don't really have a problem with Old Navy, but I'm tired of seeing Old Navy ads in my newsfeed. And so I said, I don't want to see these anymore. And of course, Facebook says, what is it about these ads that bother you? And I just kind of said, one of my options was, I just don't want to see them anymore. Although I could have said something like it was offensive or it's not relevant or this or that. So I would assume that Instagram's little filing tools will be similar. If you don't like a video that, or a photo, the company says, you'll be able to tell it why. And hopefully if all goes well, you don't end up seeing ads that upset you in the future.
We're getting a bunch of tweets about this topic, probably 5 or 6 now. People have pretty strong opinions on advertisements within Instagram. So I'll read a couple of them and maybe leave a couple for later on, Sarah, when we do feedback for the show.
Sure.
We have one from the Eradicator01 who says it's good for Instagram, bad for its users. It eats away at my data plan. Interesting.
That is a very good point. Yeah, I mean, inline video is inline video, right? If somebody has a plan that's restricted enough, or you're watching your megabytes closely enough, and you feel like Instagram starts to dig into your bottom line each month, I wouldn't use it either.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
I'll do one more. And like I said, there are still lots of them coming in. This one is from datalore_TV, who says, on the desktop, yeah, why not? Plenty of space on a mobile device. Where will they find the room? So I that's also an interesting piece of feedback there in terms of it being okay in one place, but not okay on mobile devices.
Yeah, well, but Instagram is all about mobile devices. I mean, Instagram, yes, there's a web experience.
But no one uses it, really.
Nah, do they? I don't. I could. It's funny. Even every once in a while, I'll feel like I don't really feel like looking at my phone. I'd like to look at a larger screen. And even then, I will look at Instagram either on my iPad and have it blown up because it isn't actually native iPad app, or I'll look at it via Flipboard, which is another way to look at Instagram, but it makes it look completely different. It's kind of like the Flipboard skin on Instagram. I really never say, oh, let's look at Instagram on my laptop or on my desktop computer.
No, me neither.
I don't know why that is. I guess it's just because it goes backwards. I mean, what's the point? We're also used to looking at it on, you know, in that sort of mobile feed. So that's good, but possibly bad for people who, if you just have a mobile device and you say, I'm not going to screw up my data plan. It's a good point.
It's a really good point. So we'll get to some more of those later on in the show. For now, we'll go back into some of the news items. This is a CNET article that you found, Sarah, about, is it Smule? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's funny. Chad Johnson was my guest co-host on iPad Today because Leo's out of town. And he called it Smule. And I was like, I think you're adding a C in there that I don't see. Smule or Smule, I suppose. Is the name of the company? Yeah, we were showing off Sing Karaoke, which is actually a pretty fun karaoke app that this company makes. They do a lot of music stuff. In fact, the company has some pretty impressive numbers. Sing Karaoke users sing 480,000 songs per day. Users of the Magic Piano app play 1.2 million songs per day. And the whole idea behind what Smule is doing is that they want to become a social network for everybody. So, Amber, if you're like, I don't know, that sounds interesting, but I'm not really interested in downloading those apps, you no longer have to. There is now a web-based social network centered around the ideas of, you know, singing remotely with somebody that's across the world or playing piano or recording yourself or meeting like-minded people. Through their network, so they've got a new web-based system. You know, we're looking at it. The idea is based around music again, but it's not just like listen to music. It's more of a connect to people who like the music that you like, and so on. Amber, I love the idea of this, and especially because clearly the company has a ton of engagement. So why not offer something that is engaging to people who, for whatever reason, aren't using the apps? But it's like, but they already have so many people who are using the apps. Is this really seem
it seems
attractive
like they're going
to you?
Backwards.
Yeah.
It sort of seems like they're taking a step back. So that seems strange in some ways. And I don't know. I mean, I can't see people really getting that into this necessarily. And in the sense that... do they really need a web-based social network for this? I don't know. I mean, it looks slick. They've done a good job designing it, but not sure how successful it will be. And you know what? There have been so many music-based social networks, and I know some of them have done okay. But, you know, generally speaking, they don't have a great ending. I'm thinking MySpace and others out there.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, MySpace is a great example of something that's like, it's kind of synonymous with music now, but it didn't even really start off that way. Music streaming services like Spotify and RDO and the like, there are sort of social elements to those, but I've always found the reason I like streaming services is because I just like having music on demand. It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with kind of meeting like-minded people. Yeah, it's nice to get music recommendations, but that's not even really what Smule does well. It's more of connecting people to be creative based on music that you already like. You know, Chad yesterday showed off how he was singing Reading Rainbow theme with a woman who lived across the world somewhere, and they were like collaborating, and then he was able to record it and play it back to me, and we laughed. You know, that sort of thing that's cool. I just don't know how many people who haven't already heard about these apps and then sought them out for themselves will stumble across this social network and be like, this is amazing, this is what I want.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Maybe if I could sing well, it would be a different story.
Maybe so. Maybe we're just sour grapes because we're just not the target audience.
That could be part of it.
Quick reminder that we record the Social Hour live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Thanks to everybody who joins us live. And in fact, we're going to be taking some live questions later in the show. So if you've got burning questions for Amber and me that have to do with social or... well, maybe not any question, but most questions are fair game. Please do get those ready in a few minutes. We will be tossing to you, whether it's in chat or on Twitter or even via email. But in the meantime, our website is twit.tv/TSH. So if you ever miss anything that we talk about, you'd like to go back over the episode again, you can always visit us on our little web spaceship. Last week we had Denise Howell, who was our guest. I have no idea who that woman is or why she is our that's our screenshot from last week.
That's the wearable gadgets with the phone glove.
Oh yeah, it kind of makes it look like we're saying that that's who Denise is. Sorry, Brian.
We can change
that. I'm going to go ahead and veto that that screenshot that you pulled. But anyway, the links are down at the bottom of each of our show notes pages. So Amber's Radar Fad, all of the news items that we talk about are all there, plus our subscription links as well. All right, before we move on to some of our spotlights and our tips of the week, let's take a moment to thank Full Sail University for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. This is very exciting. New sponsor. Here's the story. If you're sort of like Full Sail University, I don't know what's going on. How is this going to help me? Well, technology, Amber and I can say with absolute assurance, has redefined our jobs as journalists, as reporters of tech. This is all a new and exciting territory for us. So let's say you're sitting back watching this show and saying, seems like you guys have a pretty good job. This seems like something I'd be interested in doing. Maybe you'd like to begin a career in journalism, or maybe you're already an established pro in some other field and really feel like, you know, digital media skills would really help what I'm already doing in my industry. Maybe I'd like to veer off into more of a communications role. Maybe I just need to hone some of my skills a little bit. Maybe I'm absolutely new at this. Many of you write us, Amber and I, all the time saying, you know, I need a little bit of guidance on what I should be paying attention to. You. How does the whole social thing work? Full Sail University's online new media journalism master's familiarizes students with all of the tools, all of the tricks, all the techniques that they need to be good storytellers and to reach as wide as possible of an audience online. The program prepares future graduates with roles within communications and media. So that's journalism, photojournalism, blogging, marketing, and writing. You know, for me, I feel like, yeah, you know, I understand all about broadcasting and journalism, but I've never felt like I really had a handle on marketing. That would be something I would be really interested in. Classes revolve around project-oriented coursework and are taught by professionals all across the industry. Full Sail University's online and campus degree programs are centered around actual real-world education that will help your workflow when you go out into the real world. Through an innovative curriculum, you can earn a master's degree in just 12 months. Full Sail also offers a variety of master's degrees in things like PR, that's public relations, internet marketing, business intelligence, innovation, and entrepreneurship. So if you're interested, learn more about Full Sail's master degree program in new media journalism or any of their bachelor's and master's degree programs by checking out fullsail.edu/social hour. Once more, that's fullsail.edu/social hour. And we thank Full Sail University for their support of this show. All right, Amber. So what is our social marketing spotlight of the week?
This is an interesting one. This is kind of a PR stunt, I guess. That's the best way to describe it. And a negative reaction from most people online. And the company is Burger King. And what Burger King has done is, in an effort to promote their French fries, and I guess they've created a lower fat French fry, if that's even possible, then they decided that they would do this stunt where they renamed the fast food company Fries King. And they went as far as actually rebranding some stores. They rebranded their website. If you go to, I believe it's BK.com right now, you'll see it, the company there is branded as Fries King. And it says new Satis fries, 40% less fat, 30% less calories. And I guess it left a lot of people who are Burger King fans kind of confused about why they had done this. Now, they're not obviously changing the name for good, but this was just something to get attention for these new fries. So at first I'm thinking, this is the silliest thing I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. Why would they do this? But then I'm wondering, well, we're talking about it, right, Sarah? And they're trying to promote these fries. So maybe it's working. I don't know.
Sad is fried. Gosh, that just, it's just upsettingly bad.
I hate it.
Why do they have to? No, okay. I don't go to Burger King. I haven't been in a Burger King in a really long time. But those look like fries that I used to get at my school cafeteria that were mushy and gross. I don't even think they look good. I guess they have to somehow set them apart so you've got the little ridged fries now rather than the nice smooth fries that I think about fast food with.
But, yeah, like these look like they came out of a bag that you put in the oven sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So a lot of people up in arms about this, and particularly online. I think just a couple of hours ago, in fact, Time.com had written an article about how angry people were that Burger King had done this. And some people went as far as saying they were lying to their customers by pretending they were changing the name. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Right. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure this is the best campaign, especially when they know people through social media are just going to end up having their hate on for Burger King. Because we've seen companies like McDonald's, for example, go into the social space and try to be creative. Like one example in this article was the mixed stories that we talked about on the show, Sarah, and that kind of backfired. So it's delicate waters out there in the social media world. You don't know what's going to happen. And in this case, there are more negative comments than positive comments, for sure.
I think this is a great case of, you know, talking about marketing and not necessarily feeling like I know everything I need to know about how to be a great marketer. But this is a good case of, it's like they tried too hard to be too clever, and then they end up just confusing their loyal customers. And that's, you don't want to do that. I don't really know who's paying attention to this besides people who really care about Burger King. You know, I sort of go, oh, well, whatever, whatever they're doing. But if you really do care and you're like, wait, are they changing their name? Why does everything look different? Is this a real deal? I'm upset about this. I don't want
and
my fries,
Sarah,
to change.
Why didn't like, they?
What's the point?
Exactly. Why didn't they change it to Fries Queen?
Yeah.
This is what I can't understand. I'm like, the name doesn't even make sense if you're going to go that far to rebrand and do something clever. Seriously, I mean, the name just makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't even roll off the tongue well. So I'm not sure what they were thinking. So I think it's a bit of a thumbs down as far as a campaign. And another example of how a PR stunt can turn sour very quickly in the digital space, especially if you're not paying close attention and not anticipating what could happen. And this is just an example of that.
Yep. Burger King, better luck next time.
Better luck next time.
You got it in you.
Keep trying.
We know you do.
Keep trying.
Well, yeah, exactly. You'll get there eventually. Burger King has a track record of this. I don't know. I guess you can call them creative, but somewhat just confusing in general what's going on behind the scenes. Let's move on to one of our social tips, and this is Pinterest related. So I, being a, you know, sort of a new Pinterest lover, I am pretty excited about anything Pinterest related.
This is called Pin Loader, and it allows you to batch edit and batch post photos onto Pinterest. So very helpful if you use Pinterest a lot. They say in the description here, let's say if you have 10 images of the same product that you want to list on Pinterest, you want to have different images, but maybe the same description and the same link. This allows you to manage all of those uploads to Pinterest more easily. So a great thing if you are doing any type of batch editing, uploading multiple files, and just a simple tool. As I know, you know, Pinterest usage just continues to grow, Sarah. I mean, I feel like I've used it even more in the past little while. I found some really interesting things on Pinterest as of late. So I think it's a good tip for people out there who are becoming heavy users of Pinterest.
I like this. I have found as well that while researching pieces of furniture, which I have been doing a lot of lately, I'm doing some collaborating with a designer friend on this board that we both have privileges to post to. To pin things to. Make sure I get my vernacular right. But sometimes, yeah, there'll be one certain shot of, let's call it like a coffee table, and you're sort of like, yeah, that's pretty good. But there's another shot of this coffee table that somebody used in their house, or maybe it's just another angle or that sort of thing that's better. So in order to convey what I'm trying to convey to this person that is also sharing this Pinterest board with me and I know is going to look at what I'm pinning, it'd be great to be able to upload a bunch of stuff at once. So just that alone makes you have to do less work in order to give someone more information. There you go. Yeah. So as you can see, I'm pinning all sorts of really expensive things that I can't afford, but still gives someone else a good idea of what I like. So, all right, let's move on to our spotlight of the week. This is something Snapchat related, and I'm kind of excited about it because I have ended up starting to use Snapchat quite a bit. I use it every day. Not with that many of my friends, but with a few of my friends, we Snapchat photos and videos to each other all the time. Snapchat, as a little refresher, is the social network. I guess you could call it that. But it works very differently. Instead of me posting something to my Facebook feed for everybody to see forever, Snapchat is, I take a, you know, funny picture of myself, and then I send it to Amber, or I send it to Brian, or I send it to Amber and Brian, or I send it to everybody I know. The idea behind Snapchat stories is that now, when I take that funny photo of myself, I have a new option. Oops, sorry. Up at the top of my, I can send it to a variety of my people. I've got little, Snapchat is pretty good about saying, these are your best Snapchat friends, because that's the people that you send stuff to the most. Or some of your other friends, or my story. Now, what's my story? Once I add something to my story, anybody who I have a connection with on Snapchat, and that's a mutual friendship, it's not just a following, it has to be a mutual, I accept you and you accept me. Within the 24-hour period after I post this, can see that really awesome photo of me as many times as they want. Now, each time they check it, it counts down because I initially set it to be 5 seconds. So it works a lot like Snapchat, but now I've kind of got this thing that lives and doesn't go away the way that Snapchat has worked in the past. Now you might say, well, I don't get that. So I'll take a couple more pictures. There's that. I'll go ahead and add that to my story. Take a couple more. Here's our rundown. Ooh, that's not very exciting. I'll go ahead and add that to the story. Okay. So now I've got that initial picture of me.
Okay.
And then I've got that picture that I took of what I see, and then the picture of my computer. And then you can go ahead and start to scroll through these. Now, that's a pretty boring representation of what a Snapchat story would be, Amber. But if you think about, hey, you're going throughout the day, you're taking little snaps of, I don't know, the coffee house that you're getting your coffee in, and maybe they wrote your name down funny on the coffee cup, and that's sort of just a funny thing to talk about. Or it's a view of the first snowfall of the year, whatever. Some of that stuff is like, well, you don't necessarily want to think about it too much. You don't want to think about, how does this perfectly convey my awesome life on Facebook? It's just Snapchat. So it's something that is relevant to your friends for about a day, and then it's still gone forever. But it at least has a little bit more of a life than just that one single funny image of myself that I would send somebody to for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, actually. I don't totally hate it. I mean, I think it makes sense to be able to really just tell a story that way. And I think there's lots of days where people just want to be able to get a bunch of pictures and share it, but you don't really need it forever, like you said. So it's interesting, Sarah. It's kind of cool.
I think it's kind of cool, too. Mm. The company apparently thought a lot about the idea of, well, if you are going to send a photo or a video to everybody that you chat with on Pinterest, that you send snaps to on Pinterest, it's Pinterest, is, or Snapchat, my gosh, too many networks, Snapchat, then you can go ahead and like select everybody. But it's not really set up to do that. So it's not really set up to sort of blast stuff mm-hmm. to everyone that you know. And that can be sort of off-putting, too. It can be a little bit spammy. You don't necessarily want to just be hitting up everybody. So this is a little bit more of a passive, hey, if you want to go ahead and see what I've been up to over the last 12 hours, I've taken 5 photos or, you know, a combination of photos and videos and maybe, you know, drew some things on or whatever. You can look at that if you want to, but I'm not sort of pushing it at you one little snap at a time. So I think it's a nice way for the company to kind of get into a, hey, let's start building something that feels a little bit more like a news feed.
Yeah.
but exactly. But as in, you know, it's wrapped up in a nice little Snapchat bow.
Yeah, it seems like a smart move for them, you know, to get into the space a little bit deeper, still stick with their main brand in terms of what they're known for, but try to expand their offering a little bit. So it's kind of cool. And Sarah, speaking of cool, this is very cool. So this is a story that has been making the rounds online. I'm just waiting for the moment where I find out the story is fake and, in fact, it's some brand behind it. But so far, so good. I first read about it on Mashable. And it's a story of a groom who made his bride's dream wedding come true just based on all of the stuff that she was sharing on Pinterest. It turns out that this woman, in fact, had posted about 220 pins covering what her perfect wedding day would be like. And this includes every little tiny detail you can imagine, such as the colors that she would want there, the different outfits, what she would want on the centerpieces. I mean, it was very, very specific. So she planned her wedding before she was even engaged. And
I know. Oh, that's
and
good.
She didn't realize that, in fact, her boyfriend was pretty savvy on Pinterest, one of a small group of gentlemen who are using Pinterest. And he basically looked into what she was doing and decided to plan her wedding day for her and propose on the same day because this was also a dream of hers. And her wedding was planned and done, and it all happened in one day. So they did a little video about the actual wedding, and a lot of people really loving this story because I think it just a fun and lovely story with no bad side, assuming there's no brand involved.
Well, that's certainly, he certainly had a cameraman or camera woman, camera person be all up in that engagement. For those who are listening to the audio version of the show, there's kind of a montage video that's put together about them getting engaged and then a lot of images from their wedding. It looks like a really nice wedding, but I always feel a little, I know that some people do plan to have the engagement caught on video, but I hope it's not fake, Amber. But I feel like I second guess everything I see these days.
I know, but
that's really cute. If she and you know, I say, ooh, she was planning her wedding before she was even engaged. Not alone. Lots of women do this. Many, you know, this is one of these things. A lot of people, you know, dream about their entire lives. Pinterest is full of that, so she's certainly not alone. But kind of cute that he went ahead and said, okay, well, let's make as many of these fantasies become reality, and she's a very happy bride.
She's very happy. Yeah. I just realized when you're talking, it's like, wow, that's so sweet. I mean, would I ever do something like this? And then I realized that I've actually been engaged twice and never gotten married. So I don't know if this is for me, but nonetheless, I still think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I have I'm a, you know, going back to Pinterest and my furniture search, I have this great ability to completely fall in love with like a little side table that's $2,200. And then, you know, I spend a month trying to find something that's similar for more like $200, and everything I see, I hate. So I could just see myself, you know, walking down the aisle and just being like, yeah, no, it's a cheap version of what I would have wanted. It's like just setting myself up for disappointment, which is why I should never get married.
Every time I think about getting married, sorry, this is totally an aside, but every time I think about getting married, I start to think about how much work it is. And then I just realize, no, I don't really care about what centerpieces look like. And I lose interest very quickly. So,
exactly.
You know what?
It's I'm actually going to two weddings over the next 2 weeks, one tomorrow and then one the following Saturday, Amber. And you know, you start hearing all this wedding talk, and it's like, I keep saying, all people care about is that the bar doesn't go, you know, that you have enough at the bar, and that the food's good. Nobody will remember anything else, ever. I mean, if all goes well, they won't remember much. That's just how weddings go, but that's, you know, nobody wants to listen to me. Whatever. Can you tell? I'm a little bitter about weddings. Okay, let's move on to... All right, so we mentioned some viewer and listener feedback. We will get to that in just a second, but let's thank SAP first. Gotta thank SAP. They're our tried and true sponsor of the Social Hour. We love SAP because they make a product called Social Media Solutions. What does it do? I'm glad you asked. It helps companies use social media to improve their customer service and support processes. Now, if you work at a large enterprise, you know that if you if you're following what people are saying about your product or your brand or your service, you know that they might be complaining on Twitter. They might be praising you on Facebook. They might be writing up some sort of a review of your product on their personal blog. And there's a lot of places that this stuff happens. And if you work in social media at a large enterprise, it just starts getting difficult to stay on top of that conversation. With social media solutions from SAP, large enterprises listen and engage with those that are talking about them, referencing them on social media in a systematic way. You've got a listening component. That's where you're ingesting all of the stuff that's being said about your company. You can capture reports on conversations. You can use relevant terms in order to capture them or measure people's enthusiasm or passion or just certain patterns. You can even monitor your competitors. You want to know what people are saying about that other brand that you want to be better than. So that's all really, really helpful. It helps you build better products because you can incorporate all of that customer feedback that you're getting in real time into what goes on next. You bring that to your team and say, we've got some really, really good evidence that this is what our customers want us to build. You can identify customers who are ready to buy your product, but maybe might be on the fence. You can give them that extra nudge, answer some questions, and kind of become the hero. And then, of course, you have the engaging component that'll help you improve your customer support by allowing you to set rules about which messages are going to which member of your team. Activity on the social media stream, again, Twitter and Facebook are the obvious ones, but hey, there are probably a lot of review sites out there that you've never even heard of. People are talking about your brand and they're spreading the word. You want to make sure that your customers are happy. If they've got issues, customer support issues, product issues, questions, you are rapidly responding to customer feedback. You are quickly solving your customers' problems. And of course, you're driving sales. If somebody posts a negative review, you want to remedy that problem. You want to make sure the person on your team who can remedy that problem gets the message as quickly as possible. Social media solutions from SAP gives you all of that. It's more than marketing. It improves the customer service and support experience. If you think that this might be a solution for you, go to sap.com/twit. Take a guided tour. See for yourself how social media solutions from SAP works and can work for your company as well. sap.com/twit. And thanks to SAP for sponsoring us. Okay, Amber, this is going to be a little bit of a Wild West rapid fire version of viewer feedback.
It's
listener
true.
Feedback. You've been gathering some. I know you've been monitoring Twitter. Should we start there?
Yeah, let's start there. So just got a tweet from Andy Newman, who's talking about the Instagram news we mentioned as far as advertisements within Instagram. And he says, I'll reserve judgment until I see it. But for now, it sounds like a lazy answer to make some money. So very critical about what Instagram is doing. And I'm not sure it's lazy. It's kind of the only way. I mean, what else are they going to do, right?
I think maybe what they're saying is, it seems lazy because that's always the solution for anything that's mobile focused, right? Is, well, we'll just start showing ads in with the photos and videos that you actually want to see and hope that you don't get so mad that you leave. I don't know if I'm I agree with you. I think lazy is maybe not the word that I would choose, but this is the method that other companies are trying out right now. What else would they do?
I don't know what else they do. I can't see another solution. So very interesting. If Andy Newman is still watching, maybe he can send us another tweet in terms of if he has other ideas as far as how Instagram could monetize, because I'm sure they could use some help and figure out some other opportunities. We also have a tweet from M. Gutelli, and he or she just they don't say much except for that it's inevitable that Instagram is going to advertise within the stream. So I think very much in line with our opinion on this, Sarah, that it was only a matter of time before this happened. So no big surprise there. So Corbo64 says, I'm okay with it, but not really looking forward to it. I do love my Instagram. So I think, that's almost like a moderate opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's It's very hard to know. I struggle with this just because I like Instagram so much, and I know that it's going to change, but I'm just not sure that this is anything to get too up in arms about. But again, there are issues with it, potential issues, like if it autoplays videos, I'm going to be totally mad. But then again, I could probably still view all of my Instagram photos on Flipboard and get around that a little bit. But that's not really the point. It's not that I don't want to support the company. I like the company. I understand that it's part of Facebook now, but it's like Instagram, the product, brings me a lot of joy. So it's not like I'm trying to get around the inevitable advertising that's going to help them make money. It's just it's just how they do it.
And then, Sarah, where do you complain where there's no advertising? There's nowhere anymore, right? Where do you go, Twitter or Facebook? I mean, there's advertising everywhere now throughout all big social networks. So I think it's something that we really can't get away from. I know Robert has sent in an email, and we have the link in our rundown. It looks like a YouTube video because we had asked for videos last week.
Yeah, let's play it.
Hey, Sarah and Amber, Robert Alwarich here from Yellow Jacket. Following up on previous social hour discussion regarding wearable computing and virtual reality / augmented reality, the future of wearable computing may not be on your wrist or even in your hands. You see, it's all inside your head. Recently, Daqri, a Los Angeles-based augmented reality company, demonstrated a new way to interact with real-world objects, one of those objects being a household lamp.
There's the EEG. You focus. If you look real close, you'll see the reticle when the tracking identifies the light. And as soon as she thinks hard enough, the light turns on.
If you think that's crazy, think again. Daqri took things to the next level, imagining virtual worlds in real time and making them appear on screen.
So you'll see here, there's the waveform. She thinks about a sheep. Don't ask me why it's a sheep. And then the sheep manifests itself in AR. So what we've done is taken the concept from her brain and represented it in augmented reality. Again, whoa, you'll see another pattern. This one's for the UFO.
Am I missing the social component here?
There's a great quote from Henry David Thoreau. Our truest life is when we are in dreams awake. And that's happening right now. So how long exactly before we start wearing EEG machines on our heads? Only time will tell. Oh, and this fella, he probably knows. All right, guys, take care.
Bye. Thanks. You know, Sarah,
what did I just see?
No, it's in reference. We talked about wearable tech in a Radar Fact.
Right.
So I think that's feedback because we had asked people what they thought of wearable technology. So thank you, Robert. That it's definitely a good effort for the video.
Very. That was
very
fun.
Good.
You're a natural. That was a good time. Made my brain explode a little bit. But yeah. Yeah, a lot of clocks back there too.
I know. Great job. Well, that just set a new standard for a video, Sarah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very cute.
No kidding.
I know we have a little meme story coming up, but also wanted to say one piece of feedback on Twitter from JP Smith, 1981, who said, in regards to the Instagram story we were talking about, would this bring an official great app to Windows Phone? A lot of people on Windows devices looking for, I guess, the official Instagram app. I'm assuming they don't have an Instagram app on Windows. I should know because I do have a Windows device somewhere in my collection.
Do they not?
I don't think they'd. I mean, I know a month ago they didn't, but I'm not sure what's changed. I don't know if the chat room can chime in here, but I know they didn't.
There isn't actually an official Windows Phone Instagram app. So says Scooter X in chat. Thank you, Scooter X. It's funny, Amber. It's funny that you mentioned you've got a Windows Phone. It's, you know, you test it out, but at the same time, you don't even really know offhand what is in the offering as far as social apps on Windows Phone, because we just sort of know inside that it's such a smaller app store than anything that would be in Google Play or Apple's App Store.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first had a Windows tablet, and I was playing around with it, and I remember wishing they had an Instagram app, but like I said, I haven't checked that much recently. So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully that will come soon for Windows users. And Sarah, speaking of things coming up in the future, we should probably talk about this great article. If you are a Halloween fan, you will like this. And if you're a meme fan, you'll like this. And if you are a Grumpy Cat fan, Sarah, you'll like this as well. An article about six great trending Halloween costumes that are from pop culture, but particularly from the world of internet memes. Not all of them are fabulous, Sarah, but a few interesting ones here in the list.
So that's Miley Cyrus. Got that. That's a good one. Looking good. Twerker treat. Uh-huh. Yep. I don't really recommend wearing that. Okay.
Don't wear that.
Now, this one... Hold on. Now, this one is... Oh, Sharknado.
I like this one.
That's good one. That's fun.
Yes.
There you go. Sharknado on a girl's head. This is... that's adorable. What's next?
Oh, this is the going with the flow. I don't know this. This is a progressive insurance saleswoman, I guess, who people know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's all over commercials. It's been this commercial campaign for years now, and she's super annoying. But anyway, it would be probably laughed at a little bit. I don't know what this is.
That's a Twinkie.
Oh, it's a Twinkie. Got it. I see.
Yes.
The Hostess logo apparently wasn't enough for me. That does not look like Grumpy Cat. That looks like a Grumpy Fox. That's like a Grumpy Wolf Fox. Interesting. You know, what I was thinking of being over Halloween, if I were to dress up Amber, which I kind of never really do. I'm a little bit of a Halloween Grinch because I'm not crazy about costumes. But if I were to, let me pull up my favorite new Facebook celebrity, Sir Stuffington, who is a little kitty who got in a fight with a raccoon when he was super tiny. And he lost an eye and he had his jaw broken. So he's kind of got a little perma snarl, but he's still a really happy little guy now. He's better. He's healthy and happy in his foster home. And he has been posing as a little pirate.
That's very cute.
That kind of shows, because he kind of has a little face, like he's saying, because he's kind of got a little, you know, his mouth.
So would you be a pirate or would you be the cat pirate?
I would be Sir Stuffington the pirate.
Oh, you would go like for the full, the full Monty.
Basically, so all you have to do is wear a pirate outfit, but you're going as Sir Stuffington.
Oh, I thought you were going to wear a cat outfit and then apply
celebrity.
Apply the pirate on top of that.
Maybe whiskers. Maybe if I did some whiskers and just made sure that the colors were okay. That would be, it would be the sort of thing where if somebody said, I know who you are, you're Sir Stuffington, I'd be like, you can have access to my bank account. I'm like really, really impressed. But but it would still be, you know, something creative.
I think you
now
should.
Now that I've said it, I'm like, now I can't do it because everyone will just know. But I thought about it.
That's very cute. Yeah, that's fun. I know. I think it's cute. I think it would generate lots of conversation for sure. I don't know what I'm going to dress up as this year. We'll see.
Oh, little Sir Stuffington. Isn't he cute? You know, it's just, Amber, I know that you sort of laugh at all of my little internet crushes on all of these cat celebrities and pet celebrities. But Sir Stuffington, 43,271 likes on Facebook.
Whoa.
And he's only been around a couple weeks.
We have a lot to learn from him.
I think Grumpy Cat should, you know,
watch his back or her back.
Her back. That's right. We maybe got a new Frisky's spokes cat coming up.
Ooh.
Yeah,
things are getting dicey.
Yeah.
Are we going to be okay? This is kind of leading nicely into one of our sponsors because it's a perfect opportunity to show cat videos once again or cat photos.
That's right. Yeah, let's. It's we can't hold back any longer. We might as well talk about Shutterstock.com. They are our third sponsor on this episode of the Social Hour. We love Shutterstock because it's the perfect place to find an image or a video that is just perfect for your next big project. What kind of project? You might be like, I don't know, what kind of project would I? Maybe you're building a new website and you need a bunch of images and you just don't have that kind of photo library, or certainly not video library. Some sort of an advertisement for your company, a video, any sort of a type of project. They've got, oh, I always look the wrong way. Hello, little dude. They've got great little superimposed videos of really adorable cats that you might not have access to, or lots of other images as well. It's not just cat related. You can choose from over 1 million high quality wow. stock video clips in 2D, in 3D, animated, motion graphics. The list goes on. A lot of different digital formats as well. If you just go ahead and search for a term, you'll really be blown away by the quality of this stuff. I mean, so many of their stock images, they look like something that should be on a cover of a magazine. And then, yeah, you've got this really great, you know, look at this slow-mo, baseball, sports-related. I mean, all of this stuff can be yours to use with a Shutterstock account. You don't have to go out there and shoot it yourself or spend a bunch of time and, you know, some sort of an editing room or figure out how to get these kind of creative tools at your fingertips as well. Shutterstock just has all of that stuff. Plus, they're adding, used to be 10,000 video clips each week. Now it's 12,000. I mean, the library is growing at an extremely quick pace, 12,000 new video clips each week. So think about that. Every time you visit, you're going to find a bunch of stuff that wasn't even there a week ago. You've got quite the collection at Shutterstock, plus really, really sophisticated tools. If you know what you're looking for, you can certainly search by keyboard, like, yes, using your keyboard or by keyword. But you can also say, like, I don't know, I'm putting together this advertisement and I need the perfect image, but I need it to have a lot of this certain kind of color. You know, it needs to be blue or nautical themed, or it has to have a lot of sky in it, or I might just want to lay it over on top of something else. All of that can be filtered by. And you find the video assets you're looking for. You can save them to a clip box so that you can come back to them later and kind of like bookmarking them. Or let's say you're collaborating, you're working with a team. There's five of you working on this project. You can save a bunch of stuff and say, hey guys, go check out the clip box. Look for it at your leisure and then give me some notes when you're ready to, so that we know if I'm moving in the right direction. Amber, do you have a lot of experience with trying to kind of figure out something that's the general look or splash and having to collaborate with other people? It can be kind of confusing.
It can be confusing, definitely. And, you know, it's funny because I have used a lot of images and watched a bunch of the videos that are available on Shutterstock, and there's so much great stuff. So it's such a resource for people who are doing everything from presentations to creating promo videos, whatever it might be. So tons of stuff there. And there are also, as you mentioned, Sarah, a lot of cats, a lot of cat imagery.
A lot of cat imagery, people imagery, animal imagery. I mean, I see something up from Brazil up in the upper right-hand corner. I know that image anyway. I mean, this is all just really, really great stuff. So if you want to try Shutterstock, you can start today by signing up for a free account. Look at that. That is an aerial image of Christ the Redeemer up on the hilltop above Rio. I've been there. I could never get anything like that. What am I going to do? Rent a helicopter? It's just not going to happen. That's something that you get at Shutterstock. I mean, that's amazing. That's awesome. No credit card needed to try out a free account. You just start in beginning to use Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like. Black cat, statue of Christ, whatever it is. And save those video selections you find to your clip box and share them with other people. Once you decide to purchase, use the offer code, now listen closely, SocialHour1013. So that's SocialHour1013. That basically corresponds to the month of the year and the fact that it's 2013. If that is at all confusing to you and you want to make sure that you use our code, you can always go to this episode of our show notes. Down at the bottom of our show notes, it'll give you the code for Shutterstock. But once again, SocialHour1013 to receive 25% off the package that you choose, any package. Shutterstock.com, 25% off a new account. Use that offer code SocialHour1013. And thanks to Shutterstock for their support of us. All right, Amber, I am excited for Rad or Fad. I feel like it's going to be a good one because it has to do with eating food, and that's my favorite thing to do.
Okay, so you will probably like this. It's called the Cover app, and I don't know if you've reviewed it on your show before, but it's an iOS app, They're testing it out now in New York City. And the concept here is that, you know, it can be very frustrating when you're waiting for a check at a restaurant. I hate this. You know, you've had an amazing meal and then all of a sudden you're waiting 20, 30 minutes. And I realize this is definitely a first world problem. Nonetheless, there are times where you just want to get out of there. What you do with this app, Cover App, is that you essentially kind of check into the restaurant through the app when you arrive so that they have all the information that you will be using the Cover App to pay. You tell them information in terms of how many people in your party, and you can literally pay automatically through the app. So you don't have to exchange any money or pay at the table. It will just happen as you leave. So I've not tried this out yet, but I do like this idea. I love the concept of not sitting at a table and, you know, everybody counting their money and waiting. I just think it kind of ruins the experience of a really great meal.
I love this idea so much. This is awesome. This is the perfect idea. I would love to see how the execution works, though.
Yes, I agree with you.
Because it's like, if at any point you've got an app, you think that you're in the clear, and you kind of get up, and then you have a little bit of like an awkward standoff with you know, your server or the hostess or something, where it's like, whoa, wait a second. And then you kind of have to explain, oh, no, I'm using this. And they sort of go, oh, okay, you're not actually dining and dashing here. That would be really uncomfortable.
Well, I think you have to notify your server when you get there that you're paying with Cover. So you do that up front at the top of when you go into the restaurant. So that's good. And then when you're done, you just walk away. So they have to acknowledge that you're paying with Cover. And so they will input that into their system, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And the app includes information about, like I mentioned, splitting checks and leaving a tip and all of that other information. You can even set up a default tip for places that you where you eat out. And, you know, if you always want to pay 18 or 20% or whatever it might be. So, you know, I'm sure there are you know, issues in terms of restaurants maybe not understanding exactly how it works. Maybe there's some education to be done. But for the restaurants that are participating in this test, I could see this being something that restaurateurs really wanted. It makes a lot of sense for both customers and owners, because you get people in and out faster, right, Sarah? I mean, that's what they probably want at the end of the day. After you're done eating, there's no reason for you to be sitting there for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and holding up a table.
Right. And it's you know, not that any staff wants to be laid off, but if you've got some sort of an issue where this app works really well, you do get people in and out more often, and you may not have to have as many people on staff on a Friday night, say, because you've got it's sort of this back end that the that your customers are bringing in with them. And yeah, it solves a few problems. There's that whole, hey, do we want to put down 10 credit cards and split this entire thing a million different ways? Do we want to use some sort of a financial app like a PayPal or a Venmo to just sort of deal with it between ourselves? Or can we do it all in one where we're paying for the bill and we're also splitting between ourselves and we don't have to flag down some server that's really, really busy working at, you know, 20 other tables because they're short-staffed that night? It in theory, is the perfect solution.
It is. So I think it's pretty rad.
I think it's pretty rad, too.
In conclusion, yes.
And I also think, you know, it's funny. There's a wine bar that started using Square some time back, which was basically the, well, there's the Square retail system for anybody who's just sort of like has a little Square dongle that you can use for your credit card. And then there's Square Wallet, which is a little bit different, where I pay for everything on my phone. And this guy that I know who runs the wine bar was like, I hate Square Wallet. I'm not going to use it because people under tip. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, it's the way that they have it set up where they suggest that you tip, you know, 15% or something like that. And he says, for something like a bar where it's a little bit, it's all very variable. You don't just always tip a percentage because it's kind of based on what you got as a drink and how long you were there and, you know, where you were sitting and all of that stuff factors in. He thought that it encouraged under tipping, and he's like, I don't want that. But I find that when I go into my coffee shop and I use something like Square, which is just one of many of these solutions that take payment and tipping to your smartphone, every single time I buy like one little coffee, it'll be like no tip, 50 cent tip, dollar tip. You know, it's like I always say $1. It's so easy because if I was just paying via cash, I might be like, I don't know. I don't think I want to like dig through my purse.
You wouldn't
right
have
now.
It on you or anything. Yeah,
exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I think for me, it encourages me to pay a little bit more and the restaurant is happier.
Yeah, and it's easier to keep track of. So I think we have a rat on our hands here, and hopefully it rolls out to other cities beyond just New York right now.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I noticed that there are a couple restaurants in New York that are using this that are great. Parm is one of them. That's a wonderful restaurant. If you're ever in New York City, go get yourself a sandwich from Parm, and you can use Cover, the app. And tell us how it is. And in fact, tell us.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Anything that we talk about in any of these shows, real world experience is super key for us because we can certainly try stuff out and tell you about it. But we want to hear your feedback about something like this Cover app or Snapchat stories or what you think about that stupid Burger King fiasco, my words. Or would you use something like Pinloader to batch upload to Pinterest? And if so, show us one of your boards. All of that stuff is great feedback that can help us build our next show. Of course, you can email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can tweet Amber or I at Sarah Lane or Amber Mack on Twitter. Of course, everybody who's watching the show live is chatting with us and talking amongst themselves. That's great as well. And remember, if you want to be part of the show live, whether you're chatting or not, we're live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. And then everything on demand is on our website. Of course, you can find us in your favorite podcast app as well. But twit.tv/TSH is where you get all the links for everything we talk about, all the video, all of our past episodes and fun guests and all that good stuff. All right, Amber, I think we've come to the end of our hour, and what a fun hour it has been. Anything great happening up in Toronto over the next week for you?
Well, not really. I have a very busy weekend. I have a bunch of events to go to this weekend, and next weekend, it's Thanksgiving weekend in Canada, so my family's flying in, so that will be lots of fun. And other than that, Sarah, just, you know, going, keeping working, keeping busy, and staying out of the rain for now.
Sounds good. I will, as I mentioned, be at a wedding every day of next week. No, I'm just kidding. I'll only have been at one wedding by the time we do the show again, but it'll be the day before another wedding where I'm like helping out a lot. And so I'm already starting to stress just a tiny bit about that. But hey, it's all for, you know, the name of love. So it'll be lots of fun.
It's all good.
Yeah. But I'll come back with some hopefully fun wedding tales from wedding number one. Next week. All right, everybody, thanks for watching and listening. The Social Hour, we will see you next week. Until then, I will be online as Sarah Lane.
And I'll be online as Amber Mack, and we'll see you soon.